Real Talk Real Muslims is a podcast by two young Muslims who talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of life as a young Muslim today.
Welcome back to Real Talk Real Muslims, a podcast where we share our experiences as first-generation American Muslims and where we aim to connect with other young Muslims to let them know that they are not alone in their struggles. This is Rawan.
And this is Renz. So for this episode, we're back with the Taboo series, and we're going to talk about homosexuality in Islam. And you guys asked a lot of questions about it, so we're just going to go through the questions and try to give you the best answer for each of them.
So for this episode, like I was saying, we wanted to make sure that we gave you guys like the correct information. So we conducted an interview with someone who is knowledgeable on this topic and who has a lot of the Islamic background, because a lot of the questions that you guys submitted really had like a basis in kind of like, what is the Islamic approach to it, or how should we deal with something as Muslims? And we definitely feel like we weren't qualified to answer those questions from an Islamic perspective. So we decided to talk to someone who was, and they did a really great job of sharing like a lot of really valuable information with us. And so in this episode, we are going to be sharing the questions that you guys anonymously submitted to us, and we will be talking about the answers that our guest was able to share with Rand and I when we interviewed them. Okay, so let's get right into it. So the first question that you guys kind of asked us was more of like a broad one, so we thought we would start with that one. And so someone asked, what is Islam's stance on homosexuality? And during the interview, I feel like, honestly, I learned a lot even from just having this question answered by our guest. But the guest was basically telling us about how, kind of like going back to the basics, Allah is the creator of all things and all humans. And because Allah created us, He knows what the best function is for us. And without the guidance of Allah, we wouldn't know how to function. We wouldn't know, you know, how to do things in life, no matter how much we claim something is like innate or like natural or human nature or whatever. And so essentially, like, the point that the guest was making is that Allah tells us how we should function in our life. And sometimes we might think like, oh, but I think this other way for us to function could also work. But the point of being a Muslim and the definition of the word Islam itself is submission. So to be a Muslim means you submit to God. And when you submit to God, you submit to what God is telling us to do and what God tells us is right. And so essentially, as Muslims, whatever Allah tells us to believe, we believe that. And we have this like blind faith in God that He knows the best and He knows what's best for us, even if we don't understand that ourselves. And I feel like that was like a really important concept that like helps frame this question and like how to answer it. So essentially in Islam, homosexuality is something that was first, that first came about during the time of Prophet Lut. And homosexuality didn't exist before that, but Prophet Lut, at his time, people began to exhibit this kind of behavior. And when this behavior was shown in the Quran, Allah revealed a verse that said that the people at the time of Prophet Lut took desire in men and left what Allah created for them in women. And Allah said in the Quran that no one before you in nations committed such actions. So again, this was something that was pretty new at the time of Prophet Lut. And in the Quran and, you know, via Allah's command, it was told that homosexuality is a sin. And Allah doesn't punish anyone without warnings. And Allah warned these people, like, what you're doing is wrong. And, like, this is against, like, the teachings of, like, God. And this goes against, like, what you're supposed to be believing. And eventually Allah punished these people. So homosexuality is actually a big sin in Islam. And there was a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said that when this sin is committed of homosexuality, the throne of Allah shakes from how angry Allah is. So it's a pretty serious sin in Islam. And that's basically Islam's stance on it. And we're going to get into this a little bit later, so I won't say that much about it now, and I'll shut up in a second. But I feel like a lot of times in society today, we're expected to like go with the status quo and go with what everyone is saying. But there's a big difference between being open-minded and compromising on our beliefs. And I think one important point that the guest made is that as Muslims, we submit to what God tells us to do. Even if in our minds, we think something else is better or something else is right, if Allah created you, He obviously knows more than you. So I think that's just like an important point, and we'll touch on that later. But that is the answer to the question, what is Islam's stance on homosexuality? It's that it is a sin.
Yeah, so like Rawan said, homosexuality is a sin in Islam. And I think a good reminder for all of us is that Allah does not prohibit something unless it is harm to us. And our whole point on this earth is so that we can obey Allah and do what's right in this life so that we can gain the hereafter. And we see that instead of Allah creating like a male friend for Adam when he was lonely and needed someone, he created Hawa or Eve. And we know that Allah and everything that he does, he's intentional and everything is done for a reason. And that just shows us that, you know, our point on this earth is to obey Allah and not do things that he prohibits, because he prohibits them for a reason. And also our other purpose on this earth is to keep the human race going, you know, and the humans after us, teaching them about Islam and having them be righteous Muslims and all that, so that they could also go through the tests of life. And this kind of leads us into the second question that you guys ask, which is, whereas Muslims, should our stance be on homosexuality? So we just talked about like what Islam's stance is on homosexuality. So obviously as Muslims, like, we get to make our own decisions at the end where you should fall. But as Muslims, we should also believe that homosexuality is a sin. And if you do have those desires as Muslims, you should try to fight it. And that's like easier said than done, because it's hard to fight our temptations, whether that means being attracted to someone from the same gender, someone from the opposite gender, or just anything, because, you know, temptations all around us. But also as Muslims, if you believe, and as Muslims, we should believe that homosexuality is a sin and it's not right in Islam, we should also know that it is not our place to sit here and attack other people or hurt someone if they are homosexual, whether they're Muslim or not. And sometimes it's not even our place to give them advice. If you can't give advice nicely and be a kind person when you're talking to someone, you know, who's homosexual or just people in general, then you should stay quiet. And also, in Islam, if someone is homosexual and they are Muslim, they're not taken out of the religion. That's not something that takes you out of the religion. So they're still your Muslim sisters and brothers. So you should be treating them with compassion. And if you are close to someone, whether they're Muslim or not Muslim, if they don't come for your advice and like ask what you think about them being homosexuals, then you have like no right to sit there and tell them what they're doing is wrong and that they should change their lifestyle regardless of who they are in your life, except if it's like you're the parent and it's your child, or it's your husband to wife, things like that. But also, like we learned from our setting boundaries episode, like there are boundaries that shouldn't be crossed no matter what, because at the end of the day, we're separate individuals and we get to make our own decisions and our own mistakes, but ultimately it's none of your business. So everyone on social media platforms who think that it's their duty in Islam to sit there and tell everyone, whether it's about homosexuality or other subjects, and judging them and saying that it's advice, at the end of the day, this is not advice, because no one asked you for your opinion, and advice is not something that is given publicly. So I feel like we should like think about that when we want to give advice to other people, whether it's about homosexuality or other subjects. And we just need to remember that we all commit mistakes in different ways, and this might be that person's test that Allah is giving them, and that you have another test. Maybe it's how you're going to react to that person.
Yeah, and I feel like one important point, like in this like whole, like when we were talking with our like guest about this topic, is like one important point is like people make their own decisions, and just as like there are other sins in Islam, like homosexuality is a sin that someone can commit, and it can be the way that Allah tests them. And so you never know who's going to like come back from committing a sin or who's going to repent. And so it's not our job to be going around telling people that they're wrong or sitting there like attacking other people. Like in no way, shape or form does Islam tell us like, oh, it's your job to go around and tell everyone what they're doing wrong, because ultimately we're not God. So if someone does ask you for advice, or you're in a position to give someone advice, like what I'm just saying, like you're their parent or you're their really close friend, then give that advice. But ultimately, at the end of the day, like you can't make a decision for someone else. Like if someone chooses to continue committing a sin, then that's something that they're taking upon themselves. And that's something that is between like them and God that they're going to be like punished for. But it's not our job to be going around acting like we're God and we're telling people what sins they can and can't be committing. So I feel like our stance overall is that if you're in a position to give advice, give it. If you're not in a position to give advice, don't give it. Remain strong in your own faith and in making sure that the sins that you're committing in your life, you're repenting for, and like basically focus on like your own sins, because we all have them. And at the end of the day, like understand that like this is a sin that Allah will punish people for, and it's not our job to act like we're God on this. And I don't know. I feel like one thing too, when we were like talking to our guest about this, is like as I was like taking notes on like what the guest was saying, so we could share it all with you all in terms of like the answers to your questions. Like one thing was that I was like, oh, like people are gonna think like this and this about Muslims. But I think like one really important point that our guest brought up is that like as Muslims, like we've always been so afraid of being misunderstood because the media has always like mislabeled us, and like the entire world has basically just like picked Islam as like the religion to like taint and like ruin in the public eye. And I feel like we've always grown up being so cautious about how we present Islam and what we say about Islam. And that's obviously important. But at the same time, like we shouldn't like compromise on our beliefs just because it goes against something that's like commonplace in our society. Like now I feel like homosexuality and stuff like that is like something that's like very common in our society. And just because it's something that exists around us doesn't mean that we should be afraid to like say what Islam's stance on it is and what our stance should be as Muslims on it. Like we shouldn't be afraid of that because we shouldn't be compromising on our beliefs just because something is commonplace. And I know I feel like that's like an obvious thing that we all are like, yeah, I like won't compromise on my beliefs for other people. But even when I was like taking notes on this, I kept thinking in the back of my head, oh, what if someone doesn't like what we're saying? What if someone like disagrees? But at the end of the day, I was like, I'm not like inventing this from my own brain. Like this is like Allah telling us like this is right and this is wrong. So like we should never be ashamed of like sharing the aspects of our faith, no matter how unpopular they might be.
And like our guest also like mentioned a really good point, which Rowan was talking about. And it's, yeah, we should be open-minded individuals, but there's always like a line and we can't cross that line. And whatever like Allah tells us is always, the most important. And then how we're gonna look in front of people is like secondary to that. So we can be as open-minded as we want, but at the end of the day, it's like something that comes right from the Quran. And we also hear about it from Sunnah. And then, but like at the end of the day, it comes from Quran. So like it's right there in the Quran. So we can't, just because we want to seem open-minded or liberal or whatever, we can't start like twisting what Allah tells us, But at the same time, in Islam, it tells us how we should like give that information if it's asked for us, Like I feel like sometimes on social media, we see the extremes of that. Either, yeah, it's haram and you're gonna do this, like this, and this is gonna happen to you, but they don't know how to like eloquently, I guess, give that information. And then on the other hand, it's like, like everything's okay, just everyone do whatever they want. And okay, it is, everyone do whatever they want, and like people shouldn't be judging them, but as Muslims, we should know what our stance is on this.
Yeah, exactly. Like individually, we have beliefs about what is right and what is wrong. Doesn't mean we're gonna force those beliefs on other people. Doesn't mean we're gonna go around with a stick and be like, oh, point at people and be like, you're wrong and you're wrong. But like at the end of the day, when it comes to your personal stance, which I feel like is what the question was getting at, is like, what should our stance be as Muslims? Like our stance should align with what God tells us, because ultimately God has like the most knowledge. And like one thing that I feel like was helpful to me when we were talking to our guests is like sometimes I always feel uncomfortable like talking about this with non-Muslim people, because again I feel like, oh, especially in like I think like liberal circles, it's like, oh, you have to like be supportive of everything that everyone around you is doing, even if it goes against your own beliefs. But like one thing that our guest was telling us is like, imagine like you're standing on the day of judgment and like God is asking you like why you like went to a certain protest, or like why you supported something, like very actively supported something that went against what he said. And the guest was telling us, like, imagine having to sit there and like justify to God like why you did that. And she was like, nothing can really like make you be able to like justify that. Like in a face, like imagine like what can you say that can justify directly disobeying like what God told you to do. So I don't know. I feel like if anyone else who's listening to this like ever struggles with like the whole topic of like talking about like homosexuality and the fact that it's a sin in Islam, and that like in Islam we don't believe that like this is something that we should do with non-Muslims, especially in like liberal spaces, I feel like reminding yourself of like what's most important in life and like what our values are as Muslims is something that's helpful to me.
And I think another thing that we should remember is like having these things told to us from Islam about homosexuality does not make us homophobic. So when someone wants to give like their opinion or, they're asked about what Islam says about it, it doesn't mean that Muslims are homophobic or whatever. Like you're not gonna go after someone who's a homosexual and like attack them or be rude to them or whatever, but it's like your personal belief. So like it's a very individual thing. And like she was telling us that it's not our place to sit there and fight people who are homosexuals or whatever, or fight against them in them trying to get their rights or whatever, but you don't have to speak on the topic unless you're asked directly about it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like that leads like really well into another question that was submitted to us. And this person asked, where should Muslims stand on LGBTQ marriage when that community, especially when that community is always present in standing against Islamophobia? And I think this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about is like, first of all, like know what's important to you. Like just because society groups people together as minorities doesn't mean you have some sort of like magical and abstract obligation to like be like an advocate for every single thing that other minorities do. Like I feel like especially in American society, like we talk about minorities and we just like group everyone together. We're like, yeah, like Muslims and you know, the LGBTQ community and the Black community and the Hispanic community, we group them all together. But I feel like grouping everyone together as minorities is like doing everyone a disservice because it ignores the very different challenges that each group faces. Like the challenges that like being a Hispanic person in America comes with versus the challenges that being a Muslim person comes with are very, very different. And so even though they're both minority groups, they have very different challenges. So I think that's just like one important point is like remembering like we are distinct from other minority groups, regardless of how society continuously tries to group us. But I think really like the main way to answer this question is that we shouldn't like rely on others too much for like our own advocacy in our community. Like at the end of the day, like we as Muslims should stand up for like our own rights and be able to, you know, speak for what we believe our community deserves. And at the end of the day, just because someone stands up for you doesn't mean that you have to compromise on your own values and go against your faith to stand up for them. And I think that like that sentence is really important because being like actively out there saying that, you know, something is right and something is good is very different than just like not saying anything at all, because we're not saying you should go out there and be against it. But at the same time, I don't think personally, at least we're saying this like from our own personal perspectives and from what we gained from this guest, is I don't think you should be out like at rallies, like saying that, you know, you are supporting this and that you are like actively fighting for this, because at the end of the day, it's like a huge sin in Islam. And so when Allah asks you about how you spent your time as a Muslim, if that's your answer, then I think that puts you in like a really weird situation as a Muslim, because you're spending your time advocating for something that Islam has clearly told us is wrong. I don't know. I hope that made sense. And do you have any thoughts on this question?
Yeah, I feel like that definitely makes sense. And I just don't feel like we should be standing for something that we don't believe in just because we don't want to like have to deal with the backlash or how that makes us seem in society. So I think it's just very important for us to stay true to our values, no matter what it is. And that goes both for whether you believe that homosexuality is not a sin in Islam or if it is a sin in Islam. Like at the end of the day, it's an individual choice that you make. And then basically that's it.
Yeah, like I see what you're saying. Like, you know, I think that like it's something like we were saying, like with Prophet Lut, like it became something that was a novel, like it was like a choice that people were making. And so I don't know, I just feel like overall, like at the end of the day, like you don't have to like blindly support a cause just because that person supported you. Like if someone supported the Muslim community, there are plenty of those people that do wrong things in their life and that do bad things in their life. So it doesn't mean that like we have some sort of like obligation to go in turn and support those people back. Again, it's not our obligation to like attack them or like do anything to harm that person or like to even, you know, you can just not have an opinion or not go. But at the end of the day, I feel like even like answering these questions right now is like uncomfortable because I get like so worried, and I think then agrees with me too, like from her facial expressions right now, that like it's like we're so worried about what people are gonna think, because in our society we've been conditioned like if you are like open-minded or like quote-unquote liberal or whatever, you have to support this thing and you have to think this way. But like life isn't like that black and white, you know. There's gray area. There's going to be things related to political affiliations or personal affiliations that you don't agree with and things that you do agree with. So I feel like as Muslims, in terms of like any issue, not just like LGBTQ marriage, but in terms of like any issue, like we shouldn't blindly follow groups of people. We shouldn't blindly like join rallies and join political parties, but we should understand that like you can be like part of a larger movement and there are still things within that movement that you personally disagree with and that that's okay. So I think to answer this question, hopefully we didn't get like too like on a rabbit trail, but the answer that we kind of like gained from like interviewing this guest about this topic is that as Muslims, obviously we have like our beliefs and we shouldn't compromise on them. And just think about like God asking you like how you spent your time. And so like actively advocating for something to be a right for someone that is clearly against our faith is, I think in our personal opinion, something that like isn't just the best way to spend your time. And again, Allah obviously knows best. We're not like scholars. Even our guest was saying like she, like they're not a scholar. They just like have like a lot of Islamic knowledge, but they're not a scholar by any means. And none of us have the knowledge that Allah ultimately has. So at the end of the day, I think everyone has to make their own decisions on this. And like we said, it's a very individual thing. Like how you decide to approach this topic is how you decide to approach it. But in our personal opinion, I think that like your time can be spent doing something that won't be so like contradictory. It won't create so much like cognitive dissonance when you are facing God one day.
And again, just like to reiterate, and just like a general thing though, just because someone is a part of the LGBTQ plus community in Islam, that doesn't give us the right or any reason to be less respectful or outright hateful towards that person, because that Islam does not tell us to hate people because they are a part of the LGBTQ plus community, you know? Like, we need to keep right. our values and not compromise our values, but at the same time, we need to remember how we are taught in Islam to treat others.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like, we're not, like we're saying, like, we're not God, like, we're not there to, like, judge people and tell them what they should and shouldn't be doing. And I feel like every single one of these questions in this episode, if no one gains anything else from this, is to like return to your personal values. At the end of the day, each person is responsible for themselves and you're responsible for your own actions. And God is going to ask you about what you did, how you spent your time, and what your actions were. So I think that's like the main point to revisit when you think about what your stance should be on any issue is like, how is God going to ask me about this? And like, what are my personal beliefs? And like, how can I uphold those beliefs and how do they align with my faith? So yeah, I hope that answered that question. And again, guys, these are just our like opinions with insight given from our guest, but everyone is obviously going to have different opinions on these issues. Okay, so I feel like this leads into another question that we were asked, which is a really good question. And this person asked, how do you explain to non-Muslims that homosexuality is wrong in Islam, especially when a class is discussing it and there's no possible way to avoid it? And again, I think this just goes back to what is now becoming the central theme of this episode, is that there's a difference between being open-minded and then there's a difference between compromising your faith and your values. And me and I actually just paused during this episode because we were talking about how uncomfortable we felt like saying some of this stuff, knowing that we're going to be putting it in like a podcast episode. And I was just thinking about like why we feel that way. Like, why do we feel so like weird saying something that's like part of our faith and saying what's just like what our religion is teaching us? And so at the end of the day, if you are in a situation where your class is discussing this, I would honestly just say like, say that Islam thinks that it's a sin and that ultimately God will judge people based on their actions. Like, it's a simple and clear answer. That's Islam's stance on it. And just because other people say that you have to believe a certain thing or will label you a certain way for not believing it, like, we shouldn't be like ashamed of that. And I think like one thing too that's really interesting is that like when you look at people of like other religions, especially like dominant religions in America and around the world, they're never like ashamed to share what their faith believes about something. Like, they're never like, oh, I hope people don't misunderstand me or whatever. Like, they're always like very blunt about what their faith believes, and they'll say it. And a lot of times they'll say it in a way where it's like uncalled for, you know, people will like come up to you at Hobby Lobby and like shove a brochure about their religion in your hand or whatever. But at the end of the day, I feel like we should have that confidence too as Muslims, like in our religion. Like, if you as a Muslim and as a believer truly believe that like what God is saying to you is right and that we should submit to Allah, then at the end of the day, like, if you're in that class, say what Islam believes. Obviously, say it kindly and say it, like, sincerely and say it correctly. Like, do our religion justice when you're saying, like, what its beliefs are. But at the end of the day, like, don't be afraid of, like, sharing your beliefs. Just as, like, being Muslim is hard in a lot of other aspects, like, wearing the hijab means you're sharing with the whole world what your beliefs are. You're walking around and, like, a college campus where you're like the only person that looks like that, you're the only person in a huge class that looks like that. I feel like it's the same thing, you know, it kind of stems from the same thread. It's like being in a situation where you're saying something that other people are uncomfortable with, but it's part of your beliefs.
And like one point that our guest emphasized was that how you introduce it to other people is very important, and that, like, yeah, like Rowan said, be confident in what you believe and what Islam tells you, but like also be kind. You don't have to be like hurtful to the other people, and that's also like a common theme in this episode. Like, whatever you want to say to other people, if you're not asked like directly, you don't have to say anything. And then also, if you are asked directly, then that's a chance for you to like not only say what Islam tells you, but like show your character that Islam tells you about as well, and that is being kind to people and like not, you know, being condescending to people or just like straight out telling people they're going to hell for certain things that they do. So I feel like sometimes as Muslims, especially like on social media, like when that topic comes up, we want to be scholars about it and we want our voices to be heard about it and all that. But then we don't, and like we want to say what Islam tells us about it, but then we don't also take into consideration what Islam tells us about like character and how we should deliver information to other people, which is like very important when we're talking about this subject and other subjects as well. Okay, so the next question that someone asked us was, if they're a bisexual Muslim and they choose to be involved with a woman, does that mean that they're automatically going to hellfire? And the short answer is, as Muslims, we can't say who's going to hellfire and who's not going to hellfire. Like, that's not our place in Islam, especially because you don't know the connection that person has with God and what, like, you know, what happens when people aren't watching. So we can't say that, because like someone could be 100% perfect Muslim in front of everyone, but then we don't know what they're doing like alone, so we can't be the judge of that. But we wanted to share a story with you guys, and it was about a man who killed 99 people, and then he went to this religious guy who was not a scholar, and he asked him if he could like repent to God and all that, and the guy said no, like you can't, like you just killed 99 people, like what are you doing, you know? So he killed that guy too. And then he went to a religious scholar and he asked him, hey, like I killed 100 people. Can I repent to God? And then the religious scholar told him, yes, you can repent to God, but just like leave the city, go to another city, and that's where you should repent. And he told him to leave the city so that he could like be away from the bad influences around him that also encouraged him to like kill and stuff. So basically he wanted him to just like leave his bad environment and bad influences and then like start a new life. So he was on his way to the other city and he died. And then when the angels were counting up his deeds, they were like asking Allah whether or not, you know, he should go to hell or heaven. And Allah told them to count like the amount of time it's going to take him to get to the other city, and also like the distance between the old city and where he died. So he was like closer to the old city, but like from a miracle of Allah, he got closer to the new city, and Allah forgave him for killing 100 people. So we just wanted to share that with you guys, just to like remember that even if we commit like the biggest sins on this earth, other than like shirk, Allah will forgive us for anything because he is the most merciful. So that's what we learned from Allah. But at the end of the day, like, it's his judgment, and we can't say whether someone is going to hell or heaven because of doing a certain thing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that that's a great story just to remember, is that like homosexuality in Islam is like a sin, and it's a big sin. And, you know, there are lots of other sins that people commit. And so ultimately at the end of the day, it's all about like repentance and like recognizing that you're doing something that Allah said we can't do. And so it ultimately, it's an individual decision that each person makes. So another question that we were asked, which is related to our final question after that, so we'll kind of say them together. So this question says, what do you say if someone close to you comes out to you, but you're against homosexuality? And I think that our guest did a really good job of answering this, because the first thing that our guest told us is, don't leave that person ever. unless it's out of your hand and like they say that they don't want to have anything to do with you anymore, but you shouldn't leave that person. And you shouldn't react to that person in an aggressive or, you know, way that in an aggressive way or in a way that you're attacking them, because it's definitely going to backfire. You should still say what you have to say. Like we talked about before, like giving advice to people, telling people what Islam's stance is on something, but in like a kind and like well-mannered way, and remind them of Islam's stance, remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remind them that this is a way that some people are tested, just like some of us are tested in other ways. We're tested in relationships with people of the opposite gender. We're tested in relationships with our family. We're tested in, you know, struggles in work or in school or in whatever. This is a way that someone can be tested from Allah. And remind them of those things. And then be patient with that person and pray to Allah to guide this person. And remember that dua can make miracles happen. You know, at the end of the day, it's not on you to make someone else stop committing a sin or to make someone else stop doing something that's bad for them. At the end of the day, again, each person makes their own individual choices. So after you've given this person advice in a kind way, and after you've, you know, been supportive to them in a way that, you know, you're showing them like how what they're doing goes against Islam, at the end of the day, it's not on you to stop that person. And making dua is a really powerful thing. So at the end of the day, if that's the only thing that you find that you can be doing for that person, then that's all that you should be doing. And sometimes you really can't do anything else for someone else, no matter how close they are to you, because this person said that. What if someone close to you says this to you? And just remember that even like prophets couldn't help their own family members sometime. Like Prophet Lut and Prophet Nuh couldn't even help his own son. He was like begging him and he couldn't even help his own son. So at the end of the day, as long as you share the knowledge with other people that this is a sin and it's something wrong, and remind them this is a test, and do your part as a Muslim to give advice once again in a private and kind manner, then you've done your part. And continue making dua for that person. And I feel like in Islam, we should just remember that we should never leave people that stray away or that do things that are wrong. Because again, we all commit sins, and a lot of us are lucky in that our sins aren't exposed to the whole world, or our sins aren't public, or we don't make them public. And that in and of itself is a blessing from God. So just because your sins are hidden doesn't mean that you're perfect or you're better than other people. And so we shouldn't leave people who stray away from Islam. And I think this applies to a lot of other situations. Like even like, I think Rand and I have talked about this in previous episodes, but like with people who commit sins in like in other ways, or like they might like drink something or do something that they shouldn't be doing that's against Islam, we should never be like, oh, that person is horrible, they're not a Muslim anymore, and you know, we're gonna leave them and we're gonna talk trash about them. Because you know, it's not our job to be deciding who's gonna be punished for what. And a person is still Muslim as long as they still believe in God and that they don't associate partners with God. So at the end of the day, it's our job to convey information in a kind way and to give that advice, but there's only so much you can do.
And I think this like question is super important, because before like we talked to our guests about this, we're not really taught how to like talk to people who like come out to us as homosexuals or even just confess their sins to us. Like we are automatically judging the other person or thinking that like we're better than them and just like kind of abandoning them. So we're not really taught like in our Sunday school classes how to like you know, deal with these situations. Like I remember once we were, it was like an Islamic lecture or whatever, and someone asked about homosexuality, and the person who was speaking, they were just like, yeah, homosexuality is haram in Islam, don't associate the end of the story. And like they didn't say like why it was haram in Islam or anything like that. So I think it's just like important for us to know like all the information, and then like at the end of the day, whether you think as a Muslim homosexuality is a sin or not, like it's your decision, and like we're all going to be accounted for our decisions by Allah, and like we shouldn't be sitting here being the judge ourselves for other people.
Yeah, and I feel like this question and this discussion leads really well into the last question that we were asked, which is, can I be friends with someone who is homosexual? And I think this is a really good question too. And the way that our guest kind of framed it is she started off by sharing a hadith, an authentic hadith from the Prophet, and to paraphrase it, this is not obviously exactly what it says, But a person is on the religion or the path of their companions or their friends. So let every single one of you consider the company that he or she keeps. So essentially, Prophet Muhammad's hadith, paraphrase, is a very common saying that people say today, which is that you are who you hang out with. So I think that's like a really important thing to consider, is we don't understand like how much our friends can influence us and how over time our thoughts change and then those thoughts lead to actions. And so when we talked to our guest about it, she was telling us that, you know, you should just be careful who you surround yourself with in general, like not even related to the topic of like homosexuality or whatever, like in general, just be careful with like who your friends are, because whoever you let really be like really close to you or who you let into like your circles in life is ultimately going to influence you, whether you think that you're going to let them do that or not.
Yeah, and sometimes we think that we're so strong in our faith that no one can get to us, but like we just need to remember that Shaitan can literally get to any person that he wants to, and that we shouldn't be arrogant about how faithful we are. So the people that we surround ourselves with are truly important, and that they can really influence a lot of things in our life.
Yeah, and ultimately, like, to just wrap up answering this question, like we should never like completely like cut people off or like cut ties with other people. Obviously, like barring like extreme circumstances, like something that's harmful to you or whatever. And like you can keep a link with a person, but the advice that our guest was giving, obviously, again, this is just advice and everyone does what they want to, and we're just sharing it with everyone. But keep a link with a person, but not to the extent that it affects you or your values or your relationship with Allah, because ultimately, again, like a really common message in this episode and a common theme that we emphasized was nothing should impact your relationship with Allah or your faith. Like that is, for us, at least from me and Jen's perspective, like for us personally, that's like our number one priority in life. And like anything that can compromise that is something that we should be really careful around. So this was honestly a really hard episode to record, guys. Those are all the questions that were submitted to us. Thank you for submitting them. But this was like really hard to record because I found myself so many times like being uncomfortable sharing things. And I think for me, it was like a really important lesson in like being confident in my beliefs and in my values. And regardless of what society tells you, it was like a reminder to me to like still hold true to what I believe and to not let other people's opinions influence that. That's what I learned from this episode, honestly.
I definitely agree with Rowan. Like, I've never been this uncomfortable recording an episode. Like, even just saying one sentence in complete was very hard for me. So, yeah, like, we shouldn't compromise what we think because, like, especially because we're Muslims and we are a minority and sometimes we don't want to seem a certain way. Like, other people from other religions are very proud of their beliefs, so we should also be proud of our beliefs. But again, that doesn't mean being condescending or rude to other people or just giving our advice or like our opinions on this subject without being asked for it. So we just need to really pick our words and things like that. But yeah, I definitely agree with Rowan. Like, we should be proud of being Muslim. And at the end of the day, I think we should remember that like the uncomfort that we feel like right now or in this life in general, just to like fit in with other people, like it's going to be rewarded in the hereafter. So if anything, we should just find that as a bit of comfort. And that's all that we have for you guys today. And like, we really appreciate that you guys submitted these questions.
Yeah. And as a final disclaimer, we're not Islamic scholars. We're not claiming that what we shared is by any means Islamic scholarship. We just talked to a guest who has knowledge on Islam and who, you know, has worked in Islamic teaching environments before. And so we shared what this guest told us, and we shared a little bit of our own like personal insights as well. So by no means is this like some sort of like official Islamic literature or work that we want anyone to say that like we claim is correct. We hope that we were able to convey information accurately, and ultimately only God knows what's best and what is correct. And we as Muslims, we just try our best to follow that and to you know, use our own lives to follow what we believe is the right path to God. Because ultimately this podcast, we do talk a lot about like the real issues that we face in every day, and these are real issues that we face in our everyday life. And like what I was saying before, like we want to give an Islamic perspective on it, because the reason we created this podcast was because we felt like we needed a space to be able to express our opinions and our experiences and how Islam influences them, because Islam is literally like the integral part of our life. So this might be different from what you might hear in other spaces or on other social media platforms or whatever, but it's just kind of from the perspective of ourselves and our podcast, what we wanted to share with everyone. With that being said, remember to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Real Talk Real Muslims. Share and discuss this episode with your friends and family and let us know what you thought about it. And give us any feedback about this episode by leaving us a review on Apple Podcasts, DMing us on social media, or emailing us at realtalkrealmuslims@gmail.com.
That's Real Talk Real Muslims for ya.
Bye.